This week, Milwaukee PBS is collaborating with Rick Barrett and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to team up to host the Future of Manufacturing Town Hall event and a job fair. It's Thursday at MATC from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Milwaukee Area Technical College's Cooley Auditorium. The job fair begins at 3 p.m. and features local businesses that will be on hand to talk about job openings, provide resources, and showcase their manufacturing work. The town hall event, it's a bit of a complement or maybe a sidebar to Rick's five-part series in the Journal Sentinel that examined how manufacturing is returning to the United States. The event is free and open to the public. We'll feature five panelists who will talk about training and attracting the future workforce as manufacturing trends towards high tech and automation. Rick Barrett joins us via phone from, you're in Appleton today, right, Rick?
Yes, hi, good morning, Jeff. I'm in Appleton.
All right, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. So Wisconsin ranks fifth among states in the number of foundries. Wapaka Foundry in North America's largest supplier of iron castings for products such as engines and bank rotors and factory machines. It melts 9,500 tons of metal a day and has benefited from reshored work across various industries. You highlighted this company and many others in your series, Rick, but tell us just in general, when you put an umbrella around the series you've worked on, how do you explore the concept of reshoring and bringing manufacturing back to the United States as it relates to Wisconsin?
Yeah, Jeff, I think what my colleague Mark Hoffman and I saw was we saw companies moving production back to the U.S. You know, a lot of the work had been shipped overseas years earlier, and there were companies that were, you know, winning the work back. I would describe it as more like a trickle than a flood. I mean, the reality is that reshoring is going to take many years, even if it pans out as a long-term trend. However, you know, we did see, you know, quite a bit of evidence of it happening, whether it was because of supply chain problems, trade wars, infrastructure spending. There were all kinds of things that were, I think, that were causing it to happen.
So what are some of the main challenges and opportunities for manufacturing in greater Milwaukee and Wisconsin that you highlighted in the series?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jeff. I mean, many of the challenges companies face now were the same ones, you know, from years ago when they sent work overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cost of labor, it's trade wars, it is all kinds of things related to U.S. specific costs. But I think what manufacturers have come to realize is that they have to consider more than, you know, the factory price. They have to look at the total cost, which is what matters. And that includes expenses such as shipping, and again, the tariffs,
mm-hmm.
currency rates, and then the consequences of just lost sales if you don't have product to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and obviously, it's all about jobs and recruitment and retention and growing the state's economy. What were some of the trends that you saw in terms of job creation and even job loss in terms of manufacturing in the area?
Yeah, it's a real good question, Jeff. I think what we saw in terms of job creation was the jobs that are coming back now are much different than the ones that left maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You're seeing jobs that are, you know, a higher skill level. There are more technology is involved. And there are going to be fewer of those jobs. You know, long-term trend, you cannot compete against low-cost labor with U.S. labor. It just doesn't pencil out. However, with technology, you can make up a lot of that difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the new jobs that are coming back, in many ways, they have a better career path than the older ones did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that kind of machine shop type job. There's more technology. There's more training that's needed. And it's not only the big companies that need employees. It's some of the smaller entrepreneurs that are diving into the manufacturing world because they're producing products overseas, and now they see an opportunity to produce those products right here in the Midwest. So when we come back, I want to talk to you about kind of the varying differences in job creation in the manufacturing sector. We're talking to Rick Barrett from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, talking manufacturing in the state of Wisconsin. But first, have you ever heard of the Sippy Hippie? Oh, come on. You got to love this place. The Sippy Hippie Espresso Bar in Slinger. We love our coffee here at The Upswing. Tell you more about this later in the show. But tomorrow from 4 to 6 at the Mayfair Collection, the one-year anniversary of Horicon Bank's location there, the Sippy Hippie from Slinger is coming to Wauwatosa, a big Oktoberfest celebration. Local musicians, specialty-themed coffees, caramel apples, face painting for kids. Learn all about it. Slinger to Wauwatosa, we're all about bringing the state together through the Upswing. Be there 4 to 6 tomorrow at the Mayfair Collection at Horicon Bank. So, Rick, it's kind of as you, this is directly from your story. I want to read this post. It's difficult to overstate the importance of the phenomenon to Wisconsin, where manufacturing and agriculture, especially food processing, are critical drivers of the economy. The state is second only to Indiana in the highest concentration of manufacturing employment, around 480,000 jobs, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Through your series and through your reporting, you looked at the role of new technologies in reshaping the manufacturing landscape. We often think it's the larger corporate manufacturers, but there are a lot of smaller businesses that make things in Milwaukee that are finding success, and actually not only in Milwaukee, but around the state, right?
Yeah, Jeff, that's a really good point. I mean, the majority of manufacturing companies in the U.S. and in Wisconsin as well are quite small. I mean, three-quarters of these companies, have probably fewer than 50 employees. In fact, most of them have fewer than 100 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is with a lot of the smaller firms, they are turning to technology. I mean, it's not just the large, manufacturers we all think of, like General Motors and such. The smaller companies are really tech savvy these days.
Yeah, and you had a story about a woman, Danica Lass, who knits hats by hand, and one of them by mistake had a hole, and she had to find kind of a new place, not overseas, to manufacture her hats, Peekaboo's ponytail hats. What can you tell us about that? Because I think it's often those entrepreneurial stories that, hey, we have a product that we want to make and we need a manufacturer, but we want to do it locally so we can have kind of hands-on experience with the manufacturer.
Yeah, Jeff, she was a great example of someone who just cared so much about her product and the quality of it and was not satisfied with what she was getting back from outside of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And she just decided, look, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to set up manufacturing here in the Milwaukee area. And with the benefit of technology and an awful lot of hard work that she put into it, she was able to find a solution where she could manufacture, her products right here.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality difference was what she was looking for. And just the fact that it's just so much easier to deal with, the whole supply chain.
Yeah.
If you have it based in the U.S.
Yeah, you have so much more control over your product that way, for sure. And in our next segment after the break, I want to talk about kind of all the overseas roles and the role of Mexico and other countries in manufacturing right here in Wisconsin. But let's talk a little bit, Rick, about the kind of the skills gap in training programs in manufacturing. Is it all on the shoulders of technical colleges in terms of just the promotion of what's the opportunity for jobs in the manufacturing sector?
Yeah, Jeff, I think the tech colleges have a really significant role to play in this, but they can't do it on their own.
Yeah.
I think it has to start much younger. We have to get, you know, kids interested in these careers when they're in middle school or by high school, because by the time they get to they're ready for college or they're going to go off to the military or pursue a career out of high school, it's almost too late.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't got them interested by then. I mean, it's never too late.
Right.
But an awful lot of the interest could be kindled earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Dale Coinga from the MMAC is going to join us later in the show to talk about some of the efforts that are marrying business and education to do just that, to highlight and package and promote all the opportunities at a much younger level. Because as you said, Rick, it's truly important to get to kids early on in the educational process. All right. Milwaukee PBS this week, collaborating with Rick Barrett and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the Future of Manufacturing Town Hall. It's Thursday at MATC from 4:30 to 5:30 at the college's Cooley Auditorium. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, bringing it home, a new Journal Sentinel series on manufacturing's return to America and specifically to Wisconsin. So Rick Barrett joins us. Rick, how much does kind of the Buy American rally play into the return of manufacturing to America?
Jeff, I think it certainly helps. I mean, if people pay attention to where their products are coming from and they show that interest in their purchases, it sends the message to companies that it matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not the driving factor for manufacturing to come back to the U.S., but I think it's not something that should be overlooked either.
Yeah. I mean, in the last part of the series, you took a look at kind of the overseas environment of manufacturing. What's Mexico's role right now in the U.S. market compared to kind of the traditional offshore locations like China and Southeast Asia?
I think the way to describe it is that Mexico is probably very well positioned to get work coming back from Asia, even more so than the U.S., because its labor costs are so low. And also logistically, it's so well positioned right next door to the U.S. marketplace. There are a lot of reasons for it. And there's a tremendous amount of work that's coming back from China, especially not to the U.S., but it's coming to Mexico.
Yeah. What about Puerto Rico? How's Puerto Rico positioning itself? It seems like they're heavy in the pharmaceutical manufacturing space.
Yeah, that's correct, Jeff. I mean, Puerto Rico is just laser focused on pharmaceuticals and advanced medicines, which has been its strength for many years, and it's trying to win back some of the business that it had lost overseas. In fact, it had lost a lot of it. But Puerto Rico is really well positioned in the sciences and advanced medicine.
Mm-hmm. What about in Central America, and particularly Honduras, that you speak of in your series? Have migration patterns to the United States impacted what's happening in manufacturing in Central America?
I think, you know, they're really trying hard to make a dent in the migration patterns, but it makes sense to do a lot of apparel and textiles manufacturing in Central America because it's too expensive to do it in the U.S., and we don't have the labor force for it here. So in many ways, Central America could be the best alternative to having, you know, textiles, clothing manufactured in Asia.
Yeah. Well, and finally, and we can't talk manufacturing without kind of taking a look at the role of policies, trade policies, and tariffs that play in companies' decisions to reshore manufacturing. What impact will kind of the pending election have on manufacturing stateside?
I think tariffs will be the big question, Jeff. I mean, you know, tariffs are one of those things, it could really help your company or it could hurt you. And it could add to inflation, and yet it could create more jobs. So it's a matter of which side of the fence you're on, I think. And we're not going to know, you know, until after the election.
Yeah, yeah, that for sure. Well, we appreciate your reporting and your good work and look forward to tomorrow night, or Thursday night's event at MATC. It's from 4:30 to 5:30 at the college's Cooley Auditorium. There's a job fair that begins at 3 p.m. beforehand. Rick Barrett from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, appreciate your time and enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you having me.